Australia is full of high-rise death traps. Martin North, John Adams, Edwin Almeida, in the interest of the people. Hi, guys.
Hello. How are you going?
Very good. So we've got this emergency filming today based on the fact that on Friday night, yet another high-rise building in Sydney was evacuated. And the reason it was evacuated, because cracks were appearing once again. And of course, this isn't the first time. Opal Tower beforehand. And Edwin, you've been talking about this for some time. And unfortunately, now the chickens are definitely coming home to roost. So this is a conversation about that, but also about the context. In other words, how we got to where we've got to and what needs to change going forward. So John, let's kick off, shall we?
On Friday night, I was in front of the computer. I was sort of amazed when I saw on Twitter that Channel 7 had an emergency broadcast that they put out. 131 residents from what they call Mascot Towers was evacuated. So it wasn't just the appearance of cracks. Kind of like with Opal Tower, people heard cracking. It sort of caused panic. The police were called. Emergency service were brought to the scene. They basically said, "Everyone, get out!" And obviously, they brought the engineers. So we obviously have Opal Tower. We have now this Mascot Towers, and obviously we saw Spencer Street in Melbourne about 6 months ago in terms of cladding. So we've got a whole host of problems in the building industry. And so, you know, last year we had the Royal Commission into the banks. And one of the things I've been saying for the last 6 months, Edwin's been, on the front line on this issue, but as Edwin and others have educated me on the topic, I mean, what I'm most concerned about is public safety. So I think we need an immediate Royal Commission, and not just a state Royal Commission, because this is a national issue, because these construction issues are happening not just in New South Wales, but Victoria, and potentially on the West Coast as well. So we need a national Royal Commission into these high-rise towers. I think we need to have, the engineers brought in and just sort of check as to, you know, what is the state of these buildings? Are the residents safe? Because I think the first and foremost priority has to be public safety. I had several conversations with coalition MPs before the election, in terms of federal MPs, and I said, you guys are the government, you need to step in, you need to do something about this. And the only thing I heard back from coalition MPs was, well, you know, building standards is a state issue. We're not going to get involved. Federal Labor wanted to constitute national construction standards if they were to be elected. That seems a little bit sensible to me, but it seems to me that there's some politics.
Wasn't it the Labor government in the first place that deregulated the whole industry in New South Wales? In Queensland, I think if we're going to start blaming a political party, I think we've got to put them all in the one basket. I'll talk a little bit more about that, but if you want to take it outside, we can take it outside.
no fighting, guys. Put the blocks, boss
sure,
guys, away.
Okay, is multiple political parties to blame? 100%. But we need...
No, it's a policy. Well, the policy issue is the problem, right?
That's
so,
right.
So basically, the whole certification process around the country got deregulated.
That's correct. Right?
And various parties at various points got involved in that process. But effectively, we've moved away from state and local authorities taking responsibility for the quality of construction to effectively a devolved process whereby you've got certifiers who basically just look at the pieces of paper that other people have produced and very little inspection of the real work done on the ground.
Which is the major problem.
Yeah.
So we've got standards. We've got standards. The standards are there. They're etched in stone.
Yep.
And it's the supervision of those standards that has failed, from local government to federal to state and federal.
Right. So what it means is that there is a set of processes now which basically says there are building standards which are pretty good generally, right, as you say, but the way that they're actually translated into reality means that you've got lots of different parts in the construction process all doing their own pieces, right? They all produce pieces of paper. Those pieces of paper then go to somebody else to certify them, who may or may not do anything other than just look at these the text on the piece of paper and sign it off, right? And the building at the end of the day is surrounded by all of these pieces of certification, right? But actually, a lot of the certifiers don't even have indemnity insurance. So, you know, they can certify stuff and then basically disappear.
But hang on, look, you guys are missing the point. The point is people are living in buildings that are unsafe today. Yep. So there's an immediate public safety issue that has to be addressed. And so this is why I talked to federal coalition MPs before the election and said, you know, you guys are supposed to be governing this country. Step in and do something. Otherwise, you know, if we see what happened in London happen here, people could die. Are there policy issues? Is multiple political parties are they responsible for those policy decisions? 100%. But we have an emergency public safety issue that I got basically no traction from the current federal government. And you know, Labor was willing to do something about it. And even though I'm a former Liberal staffer, I'm willing to give props to where props are due. So we need to look at the policy issues and resolve them.
I totally agree with you on that. It's all about safety issues. But we need to get off the bandwagon of that it's just one party or a party. And we also need to move along from just the high rise, because there are more endemic problems with low set buildings as well as your normal homes that are being built. A lot of people don't know that there are a lot of other silent issues, and these come about by the gyprock that we've imported into the country. Some of the gyprock that we've imported into the country contains asbestos. Now, overseas, 10% asbestos in a gyprock sheeting is okay. It's normal. It's deemed to be safe, but not by our standards. That's in gyprock. Then you've got the electrical cabling. It's a very low quality. It passes all the BSA standards, but it's of very low grade and quality. So we're going to have a lot of electrical issues. So there's a lot of problems, as I say, not only in the high rise with some materials that have been used, but also in your normal everyday developments and construction of newly built homes. So totally agree with it. Safety is the issue, but it's local government, state government, and federal government from all walks of life in those bodies that need to be accountable for.
Right. So essentially, it seems that we've got two sets of questions that are actually tied in together. The first is, what do we do from this point forward? Which is, John, your point about this is an emergency, right?
Yeah.
Things have to be done and quickly because people's lives are in danger.
100%. Right?
So that's the first point. And the second one is the structural question, which is, okay, we know how we got to here, but things have got to change significantly and dramatically if we're actually going to basically stop this continuing into the future, because there have been a number of inquiries, there have been a number of reports, and frankly, very little has changed.
That's right. And Matt, I think where we could start in terms of this is the strata companies have to start reporting and have to start basically informing the owners corporation of what's going on with the developments. They right. don't, right. as I've been saying from 5-6 years ago,
yep.
they don't because of the dangerous liaisons that strata companies have with the developers. Because if they start reporting on the issues when the buildings are first completed or when they take over and they start noticing all these, some of these issues start to surface, they don't report it straight away. And why? Because if they do, it means that the developer has to go in there, the developer and the builder has a responsibility under that 2-year tenure to go in there and get the thing, get it rectified, get it looked at, right? But they don't. Why? Because then the developer doesn't give them the next project to manage. And that is an issue.
Right.
Then on top of that, you've got the property management companies that also work in par. So it's these dangerous liaisons that have to be broken down, and there has to be accountability and responsibility to in these groups. Because let's face it, John and Martin, a lot of these buildings are built under SPV, special purpose vehicles, Phoenix companies that come up, $2 companies that materialize. Once it's all sold off, they close down. A lot of the time, they don't even pay the GST. Now, there's a stop to that now, but there's a lot of companies in a lot of trouble now that they haven't paid the GST and they're in the courts for millions of dollars. That's another story. So if you're going to chase developers, if you're going to chase builders, folks, they've come and gone. And secondly, the strata managers and the owners' corporations via the strata managers have not complied with the regulations themselves, which were diluted in 2014-15. Rather than making them safer for owners and occupants, the government diluted the regulations to give developers and builders a free pass. It was insane, the things that have been going on.
Okay, so the first question I just want to sort of get us back on track, Edwin, is, okay, so is it fair to say that there are thousands of buildings that potentially have structural problems across the country?
Yes.
But from an engineering point of view, how much of those issues do people in the know actually know about, could there be buildings that they think are safe, but then when they hear a crack, they go, "Oh, we didn't expect that."
Again, we need to open this other can of worms as well, and that is that you're thinking about cracks as being the major issue. You're thinking about settlement movements as being the major issue. I, on the other hand, sit on the fact that there are greater problems than just settlement cracks and foundational issues, which stems from water penetration and the water penetration in the apartments themselves, bad ventilation, the mechanical ventilation failing, again compliant with the compliant but yet failing in all different manners. So you've got this greater problem, which is mold. Mold is the silent killer now, right now, and it has been for the last 7-8 years. Wait until these children that are growing up, or people that are living in these dog boxes, with very little ventilation. Wait until they start developing respiratory problems in 3, 4, 5, 10 years down the track. That is a greater issue that seems to continue to fly under the radar. But I've been talking about that for over 8 years as well, and I've taken footage and put it up on YouTube and of the issue. So let's look at the whole problem. I totally agree with you, John, on that. Construction is a major problem.
So effectively, the idea of a Royal Commission, which basically is a soup to nuts look at the whole process and the systems behind it, right? Which is what I think you're both saying is what's required, because otherwise we're just going to have little bits of sticking plaster and sellotape and everything else just put over the cracks again, literally put over the cracks, right?
Exactly.
We've got to get to the fundamental questions as to what happened, why it happened, and what needs to be done, right?
Sure, but Martin, I think the more immediate thing is that we need an independent set of engineers to critically assess all of these buildings, just so that the government is fully aware as to how many faulty buildings there are before we have more issues.
Right, but let's take flammable cladding, right? A report was done quite recently that said there is at least 1,000 properties, high-rises across Australia, with flammable cladding issues, right? They won't publish the list. The list is actually not available anywhere in to the public, right? And the reason is they don't want to scare everybody. That's actually what they said. So
just to confirm, when you say they, I mean, who is that? Is this the Victorian government or is this the federal government? Or
so the report was following on from what happened in Melbourne, but it was actually looking beyond Victoria. So it was a national estimate.
Right.
Yep.
And moving forward, they're also talking about the state government. Our state government said that they were going to adopt measures of auditing one in every three buildings or construction sites. Well, my question is, how often, and why only one in three?
What about the other two-thirds,
exactly.
Right? Yeah.
What about the other two-thirds?
Yep.
And going back to your question as well, Uppercut, it's also about, what about all the stuff that's been built in the last 15 years?
Right.
Since private certification. I think for me that's where it all started to fall to pieces. It all started to go pear-shaped, and that's when the doors opened up for corruption at all levels to just take over.
And that coincided with the mass building boom that we had, right, with the mass rise in property prices and, developers making money hand over fist as well. So there was...
But it was somewhat controlled back then,
right?
Because we only got the... four, five, six level apartment blocks.
Yep.
So, and if they'd kept to that, it wouldn't have been as bad. But then all of a sudden from that, we went to 21, 30, 40, 50 levels, and not only digging 5 meters, 1.5 basements or 2 basements, we went down to digging 5 basements, 6 basements, even along Parramatta River. Insane stuff.
Yep. And of course, you showed some video right a few years ago of cracks in and around the Mascot area.
That's right.
We might actually just play a bit of that, because it's worth just saying this is not a new issue, right? Those cracks were there some time ago.
And that is why I raised that problem, because the building where you see Jennifer Duke and myself there talking about that building, that's actually the building next door to Mascot Towers.
Yeah. So I guess, yes, it's a huge problem, right? There's a lack of clear accountability between federal and state, and everybody's pointing at each other and saying it's not my problem, it's somebody else's problem. But if I'm somebody who's living, I bought a property, I'm living in a property, what do I do?
Well, so I think there's two aspects. One is if you are living in a building, because you could be an owner or a renter, and the other one is whether you are an owner or in terms of whether you are whether you're a property investor. On the previous point, I mean, I think what I'm hearing from both of you is that no one is willing to be the grown up in the room and say, there's public safety at risk. We're not hearing from the Premier, we're not hearing from the Prime Minister, we're not hearing from any public official to say, no, we need to actually step in and ensure that public safety is paramount. So I don't live in a high-rise building, but what's your view, Edwin? Do you think that if the system is not going to look after me and I'm living in one of these things with spouse and kids and all of that, should renters or people living in them remove themselves because no one's willing to tell them what's really going on?
Well, you're asking the question, if I was living in an apartment and I had a young child with me, of course I'm going to be thinking of safety first and foremost, not only for myself, but more so for the extended family. But again, I say there are the silent killers, which is the mold and the toxic environment that they're living in because of the bad quality material and the fumes that are floating around in these developments because of the imported materials, because we're not manufacturing anything here in Australia that gives us that great quality control that we did have. So we've got measures, we've got we've got quality control statutes, measures, we've got the all sorts of ways that we used to build to a high standard. They're still in place, but now all the controls have gone out. Of course, I would be moving out, particularly if I was a tenant. Hey, there's a lot of properties available for rent at the moment, and I'd be looking for the lower set developments that were built over 15 years ago. At least they didn't have as much of the issues that you're gonna face in these high-rise developments. How do you rectify these high-rise developments? It's as Martin says, control alt delete, bring it down and start all over again.
So which politician? Okay, so I accept what you say, but from the political point of view, if you're saying you've got to knock down thousands of buildings across the country and rebuild them, I mean that's a huge call.
Yeah, but the government isn't going to take the government isn't going to take control of that. The government isn't going to take ownership of that. Mr. Fluffy fiasco down in Canberra. I mean, they'll only come in with a certain amount of money, perhaps, if they do. It is absolutely pandemic. It is something that is beyond anybody's control. And again, I say, let's not just focus on the high rise. Go further afield. Anything that's been built new with imported materials, you are going to have major issues. We've got a serious problem on our hands.
So I guess there's a couple of implications. One is that the price of properties, these newer properties, are going to come down, aren't they?
Definitely.
Because people will now assume that there are going to be more issues.
Well, I'll put it to you this way, Martin. So I bought an apartment in Opal Towers for $1 million or in Mascot Towers for $1 million. So if I was to offer you that same apartment that I paid in 2015 $1 million for, if I said to you, you can move in at 50% of what I pay for it, would you take it on?
I wouldn't.
That's right. Most of the most reasonable, the reasonable person won't.
I'll give you a dollar.
You give me a dollar. Well, that might be the only value of that property.
And we know that there are a lot of people in Opal Tower who tried to sell at half the price that they actually.
Or they got offered half the price.
Yeah.
Which was higher than what I pegged it at.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, but with Opal Tower, someone did actually come in and offer a dollar for one of the apartments.
Yeah, that was more of a, I think that was you.
No, it wasn't me.
That was you under a different Twitter account. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was.
But the point is there that the value of many of these properties, right, has to be questioned.
That's right. It's going to get, I believe it's going back to land value, Martin.
Yep.
Land value. And land value, if the local council allows you to build the same amount of lots in that particular land envelope.
Right. And of course, we've also got the other issue that there's still more property being built now.
That's right.
So there's another 100,000 units across the country coming on stream over the next 12 months, right? So construction is still happening. And the standards of those and the quality of the materials being used are still off, right? So we haven't actually fixed anything yet, right? We're still continuing to produce shoddy materials, shoddy buildings, buildings that will actually have precisely the same issues down the track.
That's right. And we've got, not to mention the ones that are already vacant as well,
yep.
So it's going to be added onto the mix. Yep. So sooner than later, all these investors from overseas are going to get wind of all these stories and they're going to say, I'm out of here.
Right.
You know, I'll take 50%. I'll take 50 cents on the dollar rather than losing the whole lot.
So if I was thinking of buying somewhere new now, right, Edwin, what are the questions that I should be asking as a prospective purchaser?
If you were thinking of buying something new, well, I'd be looking at looking at what the developer and builder has built in the past. I would be investing in getting strata reports for those particular apartments that were previously built by the developer or the investor,
yeah.
And that's a lot of the research that we do. I'll be checking the LEP, the local environment plans, and I want to find out historically what was on those sites. Most of these sites were either industrial or whether wastelands. Or council car parks that the council sold off to their mates, but one of the three. I'd be looking at what was on that previously to determine what type of contamination was on that land as well.
Yeah.
So
there's a lot of extra investigations that people should think about doing before they commit. That's what you're saying. Right?
Anyway, Martin, that goes across the board.
Okay.
High rise, medium density, to low density to your freestanding homes.
Right.
I mean, you engage your pest and builder to do your pest and building report. You engage professionals to do the like, but it goes beyond that, and it goes beyond the strata reports as well that are given to lawyers. I mean, can you imagine lawyers actually going through reading 300 pages of strata? I doubt it. They only read the summary at the end, or they just read the financials.
Yep.
Because to get a lawyer to read 250, 300 pages, it costs you a fortune.
Right, and like I said earlier on, I know that a number of the certifiers don't have private indemnity coverage. They don't have the indemnity coverage. So in other words, if they're subsequently found to have actually, not quite done their job right, then there's no comeback.
That's right. We'll sue somebody that's got no money.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to.
Yep.
Sue a developer or make a developer or a builder responsible when it's a Phoenix company or a special purpose vehicle company that was raised in order for each individual. Yeah, for each individual development. You raise it, close it, and you move on.
So effectively that means that there's a very poor chance of getting resolution and effectively getting a reimbursement for some of those costs that people are going to be incurring.
That's right.
Yeah. So, John, let me come to you, because I'm interested in the political dimension here
sure.
too. You earlier on said no politician is going to touch this. right?
So from the conversations I've had, and it's been some months since I spoke to a few federal parliamentarians about this, the Coalition for Ideological Reasons says, well, this is a state issue, we're not going to get involved. Obviously, we have state governments that are basically don't want to do anything about this because of the potential liability. It's a huge political mess. But the thing is, we have people at risk. We have a whole bunch of buildings being built at the moment in the next 12 months, which are going to be shoddy. So if the system won't look after the public interest, I mean, in terms of a resolution, I mean, I think one of the things that our viewers, if they are motivated enough to do, is write to the PM, write to your local federal member, write to the state premier of your state or the relevant minister, and just saying, for heaven's sake, you know, someone be an adult and do something about this, because, you know, we're supposed to be a first world country. We're not supposed to have buildings that crack and potentially collapse. I mean, 100 years ago, you know, Western nations like Australia and the UK had pride around, you know, building massive structural feats like the Sydney Harbour Bridge, etc. This shouldn't happen in Australia, and it's a disgrace that it's happening.
Yeah. So effectively, we have, from the point of view of the interests of the people, to say we have to apply more pressure to the system, to politicians, to the Prime Minister, to effectively those in places of power, because they're not actually doing what they should be doing.
Precisely.
Right. Message to Edwin, go on.
Hold on. Just taking a step back here. So the politicians are not doing what they should be doing?
Yep.
Well, on the other side of the coin, maybe they are doing what they're doing, that's taking money from the people and not using it effectively.
Right. So, Edwin, there's one thing buzzing around in the back of my head, which is, so, given how we know this has all played out, you know, who's been benefiting over the last 15 years or so through this whole process?
Looking at the process, of the, say, from a development application to completion and to the sale, I guess what I can say in a nutshell is all levels of government have benefited,
right,
and those associated with all levels of government from both sides of the, you know, from both sides of the equation. From a local government point of view, look at it this way, Martin. We went from what the council contributions per lot. So if you divided one household into two, you paid council contributions on two to erect the two new dwellings.
Right.
Then we went to 25, 35, 45 lots. So that's what I meant, termed by lots. So the local council, some local councils went from $4,000 in terms of per lot for council contributions to charging upwards of $12,000, $15,000, $16,000 per lot. Then you've got your council rates and water rates. So there's one lot, and now you've got 150 lots. So that's at a local government level. Then you've got stamp duty, which many state governments have benefited from the stamp duty. Then you've got your GST components as well. And then you've got your side deals, upside down deals, brown paper bag deals, you know, and the sell-offs of local car parks to make way for monstrosities, and albeit to benefit the local community. Oh, you benefit the local community, right? Benefit certain families in the local community, and the rest can go to hell because the local strip shops lost out because they no longer, their patrons could no longer park anywhere close to the cafes or restaurants or shops. So you had no choice but to go to Westfields or to go to those congested malls in order to do your shopping, and the local strips lost out. So that, in a way, the people that have benefited from this.
Right. And we know that since 2014 or 15, political donations from developers have been pretty much turned off, right, in theory. Of course, we don't know in practice whether it still happens behind the scenes or under the covers, but, you know, they have tried to do a little bit around the edge. But it doesn't sound to me as though they've been really that serious about it.
No, I guess being on the front line, and you hear and you get to see a lot of developments. You only have to look at the changes to the local environment planning as to why and the reasonings why. And you get all sorts of reasons and answers from different levels, and you've got state government controlling certain sections of development. But at the end of the day, another side point that I've been banting on about for many years is knowing the simple fact that from China, a Chinese national could only take out $50,000 in their lifetime out of China, but yet we've got Chinese investors fronting up with hundreds of thousands of dollars to buy property. So where was our federal government with all this? What about the banking institutions? It's one big mess, and that's one thing that I can agree with. With Uppercut on, it's a mess. I don't know how it's going to be fixed. It is one huge can of worms.
And I was going to say one point that Edwin hasn't made that I've noticed, particularly in some of the Sydney councils, is developers will run for local council. Massive conflicts of interest. So I mean, you've got the people who are supposed to comply with the law at the local council level getting involved and actually approving certain developments where, you know, if you had proper planning controls and decisions, those buildings should not, you know, they should not be built at all.
Sure, we certainly know there are lots of examples of poachers and gamekeepers. Yeah. This has to be fixed. But it has to be fixed systemically and structurally. You can't just fix the odd little pieces around the edge here. This is much more serious than that, right? Which is why your point earlier on, John, about maybe a Royal Commission is a way to go. But of course, a Royal Commission is going to take a long, long time. And in the meantime, we have people in danger.
Yes. But in terms of what Edwin said earlier, if there are thousands of buildings that need to be demolished, I mean, it will take years to resolve. But we've got to start from somewhere. And public safety has to be the most paramount concern.
Yeah, no, I agree. Public safety is where this has to start. I guess that's the message for today, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. John, Edwin, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Martin.
So there you have it. I think this is a really important discussion. And take our suggestions seriously. If you believe that this is an important issue, write to those in power and demand action. Martin North, John Adams, Edwin Almeida. In the interest of the people, we'll see you next time.